This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. This is Riyad Razazi welcoming you to the Walking with the Prophet series. It's a series about the seerah of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, but not just the seerah, as I've always been saying, it's the seerah and beyond. Seerah and beyond, inshaAllah ta'ala. This is where we get to learn about the man, we get to learn about the Prophet, we get to learn about him as a leader, as a husband, as a father, as a prophet. Bashar, walakin laysa kasa'ir al-bashar. He is definitely human, but not like any human being, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So in this series, we will dig in deep into the morals, the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the shama'il, right? His character as well, alayhi salatu wasallam. We'll talk about, other than the events of the seerah, you know, but we will talk more about, let's say when we go to Medina, for instance, we will talk about his house and we'll describe his house, we'll describe his daily routine, right? What does he do in the morning? What time does he wake up in the morning? What does he do throughout the day? So this is what makes this series really interesting. It's just like going through the stories of the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, but more into him as a person, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So yesterday, brothers and sisters, we spoke about, you know, the world before the coming of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. We talked about the two main powers, the Romans and the Persians. We also talked about the how the Christians split and how the Jews went astray as well. We talked about the Arabs and the origin of Arabs. We talked about the story of Yemen and Saba, and that a man by the name of Dhu Nuwais, that king in Yemen, who and then we talked about, you know, how the Abraha, you know, attacked him and, you know, and killed him, and then he invaded Yemen, and then he built his cathedral or church in there, whereas the Muslims, I mean the Quraysh, the Arabs, they had the Kaaba, and they were still upon the religion of Tawheed, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, until that man by the name of Amr ibn Luhay, when he went to Asham, and then he came back to Mecca and introduced the worship of idols. So he was that man who introduced initially the worship of idols in the Arab Peninsula. But other than that, or before that, the Arabs, they were still adopting the religion of Tawheed, the religion of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We also talked about the status of women, right? The status of women, and the four types of nikah, the proper nikah, and then you have husband ordering his wife to wed the rich man, and then we also talked about the third type of nikah, which is a woman wedding several men, and then she would choose whatever child, you know, that she likes from those men, and then prostitution, or idu billah. So these were the four types of nikah happening at that time. We also talked about how a man in the jahiliyyah, this is why it's called jahiliyyah, a man can marry not only his wife, but his wife's sister as well. You know, it was allowed at that time for them. And also his stepmother. Yani, let's say if his father was to pass away, a man, you know, can marry his stepmother. And Islam came and abrogated all those practices and prohibited all those practices. Also, they used to bury their own daughters. Right, we explained how it was an embarrassment or a shame or a dishonor for them to have a girl, to have a, yani, a daughter. So they would, you know, they were known to bury their daughters alive. So this is pretty much what we talked about, you know, yesterday. And also we talked about Mecca, right? We talked about the general vicinity, you know, and the area, and you know, worldwide, and also within the Arab Peninsula, and also Mecca. Mecca, the trade center, you know, the center of trade within the Arab Peninsula, as goods used to come from China with a stop in Yemen, and then they will be shipped to or taken to Mecca, and then from Mecca they will be distributed to different regions and to Sham, especially to Sham. So there was this very famous trade route between Mecca and Sham, and Quraysh used to act as the middleman between Mecca and Sham. And we talked about different names of Mecca. If you remember yesterday, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, called Mecca with different names, you know, even from the Quran. Mecca, Bekka, Ummul Qura, right? Ummul Qura, the mother of Al Qura, the mother of all towns, Mecca. Ma'ad, Laradduka ila Ma'ad, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls, you know, Prophet Muhammad when he was kicked out from Mecca and his heart was broken. So Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed to him, you know, إِنَّ الَّذِي فَرْضَ عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لَرَادُّكَ إِلَى مَعَادِ. The one who has prescribed the Qur'an upon you, he shall bring you back to Ma'ad, to يعني Mecca. البلد, البلد الأمين. وَالتِّينِ وَالزَّيْتُونِ وَطُورِ سِينِينَ وَهَذَا الْبَلَدِ الْأَمِينَ. البلد الأمين is another name of Mecca. What else? Al-Wadi is also a name of Mecca. Al-Masjid al-Haram, very well known now. You know, a lot of people, they say, you know, they call it Al-Masjid al-Haram. Somebody sent me something funny on Instagram. He says, it's the only country now that they have disco halal and Masjid Haram. There is a club now. There is a club there. Is, you know, it's like a discotheque, you know, it's a club. It's halal, halal club, and Masjid al-Haram. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. So disco halal and Masjid al-Haram. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. So Masjid al-Haram is another name of Mecca. And Al-Bayt al-Atiq as well is the name of Mecca. Al-Bayt al-Atiq and Tuhama. So these are all names of Mecca. Yesterday I mentioned with regard to the idols. How many idols did I mention yesterday that, you know, that Quraysh put inside the Kaaba? Remember that they used to venerate the Kaaba. They used to venerate the Kaaba and they used to do tawaf as well. People used to come from different regions to perform tawaf, and they used to do tawaf naked, right? They used to do tawaf naked in Jahiliyyah, and they used to go and clap their hands, you know, as they were doing tawaf, you know, naked. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never did tawaf naked in Mecca, although it's part of the culture at the time. But Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even before Islam, he never sallallahu alaihi wasallam did tawaf naked. So yes, there were 360 idols, all put inside the Kaaba. And I mentioned yesterday, you know, that Quraysh would put, you know, that these 360 idols, they all belong to different, you know, each idol belonged to a town or to a qabila, to a tribe. So, and I mentioned why, I asked why yesterday, and you know, you gave me different answers, but here's the reason as to why, you know, Quraysh put in 360 idols that belong to different tribes into, you know, into the Kaaba. Brothers and sisters, listen up. Quraysh, as they were acting as the middleman between, you know, Sham, between, you know, Yemen. So they, you know, to distribute these goods, you know, so Quraysh were acting as the middleman, or was acting as the middleman. So for them to secure the path or the route between Mecca and Sham, they had to find allies, right? They had to make allies. Why? Because there were a lot of, you know, as I mentioned, bandits, you know, and thieves that would attack caravans, right? That would attack people caravans. So all the caravans go into Sham, they were not secure. So Quraysh, to secure that path, you know, to transport the goods from Mecca to coming from Yemen and on from Mecca to Hisham, they had to strike a deal with different tribe. And that deal was, if you guys were to, you know, secure the path for our, you know, caravans moving from, you know, Mecca to Hisham, as those caravans filled with goods will pass by different tribes, you know, if you were to let, you know, guarantee safe passage, if you were to guarantee a safe passage to, you know, through your town or through your tribes to Hisham, in return, we will take one of your, you know, we will take your idol and we'll put it in the Kaaba. And for them, it was an honor. For them, it was an honor. Our idol is in the Kaaba. So this is the deal that they had to strike between, you know, them and other, you know, and all the other tribes. This is all business. This is all business. This is why, brothers and sisters, when Prophet Muhammad will come, right, and then, you know, and start talking about Islam and propagating Islam and giving da'wah, the majority of Quraysh, they will not want to believe in him because he's talking about, you know, destroying those idols. But those idols for Quraysh mean business. It means trade. It means money. It means money, right? So we were, you secure passage to our goods. In return, we take your idol and we put it in the Kaaba. This is an honor. So this is why Quraysh was making lots of money. Any goods from any tribe going through, you know, going to, from Mecca to Hisham, they will go to Quraysh. Quraysh will secure that because Quraysh has stricken a deal with all the other tribes. So Quraysh will take money, of course. If you want your good to go to Hisham, you know, you have to pay. We're like the middleman, right? So they used to make money off of that. And this is why, my brothers and sisters, with those 360 idols were there in Mecca, in the Kaaba. And this is why eventually, you know, Quraysh will give Prophet Muhammad so much hard time. Not only, you know, I mean, they knew that he was right. They knew that it was, you know, that he was gullible. They used to call him Al-Amin. But because this da'wah will sort of like strike their deals, and this da'wah will corrupt their businesses, and this da'wah will cause them to be bankrupt. So this is why they did not want to follow the Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. So it is in fact an economical problem for them, other than religious, not following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there were 360, you know, idols. But for Prophet Muhammad, it was an opportunity. How he made, or he turned a lemon into a lemonade. You always have to learn how to make something sweet out of something sour. And Prophet Muhammad, he looked for opportunities. Well, there is, the, you know, the Kaaba was filled with, you know, idols. And these people who owned those idols, they would come to Mecca once a year to perform Hajj. So for him, it was an opportunity to give da'wah to those people. They had to come to Mecca to perform Hajj. So I need to give them da'wah. I'm not going to go to them. They will come to me anyways. They will come once a year to perform Hajj. So for me, it's an opportunity to give da'wah. That's number one. Number two, how this renaissance will happen. You know, the Prophet Muhammad was smart. Alayhi salatu, of course, alayhi salatu wasalam. So he was looking for opportunities, as I mentioned. Number two, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam, the language that was spoken there was Arabic. The language spoken there between traders and between all those tribes is Arabic. And Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam was an Arab as well. So not only he has an opportunity, right, to give da'wah to them, but also to speak their language, because he speaks their own language as well. He grew up there. He was born there, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, right? So it is a language that everybody understands. And in fact, one of the, you know, the miracles of the Islam, of the Prophet Muhammad, السلام, you know, other than the Quran, it was the language. The Arabs were very powerful in the language. Like at the time of Musa, people were powerful in magic. The magic was very prevalent. At the time of Isa, medicine was very prevalent. In the time of the Prophet Muhammad, the language was also very powerful. People used to send, you know, messages and letters to one another with poems. That's how powerful they were in, you know, in the language, in Arabic. So came Prophet Muhammad with the language that these people couldn't, you know, really comprehend. And that language is the Quran. Although they were very powerful in Arabic, but something, you know, the Quran, something they, for them was really not easy to understand, but very, very powerful. And not only that, coming from an illiterate man who did not go to school, he did not know how to read and write, yet he was speaking a very, very powerful language to them. And these are the people of language, the Arabs, the people of language, the people of fasaha, eloquent speakers, you know. So Prophet Muhammad used that as an opportunity, the language. And number three, he was a free man to give da'wah. He had to be a free man. He was a free man. He was not a slave. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Right? Kan hur. He was free. And he came from a very prominent family. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Right? He came from a very, very prominent family. We're going to talk about that family now, inshallah ta'ala. Let's start officially, brothers and sisters, with the birth of a star. And a star was born. Let us start with officially now talking about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Are you guys ready, brothers and sisters? Are you ready for the thing, the real deal, the deal, the birth of the Prophet? All these other sessions, you know, the first, second, the third, fourth, we were all talking, you know, paving the road for the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now we're ready. Now we're ready to talk about the birth of the Prophet. Now that we know, right, about the, you know, the region, we know about the history, we know about the Arabs, we know about everything so far, alhamdulillah. So everything is ready for this man to be born, for this baby to be born, for this prophet to be born, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Brothers and sisters, are you ready? Those on Facebook and those on Instagram, are you guys ready, inshallah ta'ala, for the birth of the star? And a star was born. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. What is his name? The full Prophet's name. Let's talk about his name first and foremost. And then we'll talk about when he was born and how, and his mother and her pregnancy and all that. His name. Muhammad, write down, take notes. Come on, guys, take notes. His full name. Our children, our youth, they know, mashallah, names of celebrities, their first and last names, and the names of their dad, and the names of their moms, and the names of their neighbors, and the names of this, and the names of that, name of this player, the name of that player, the full name. No. How about naming Prophet Muhammad ﷺ? At least you should know his first name and the name of his father and the name of his grandfather. The least. His name, the name of his father, and the name of his grandfather. Yalla. Muhammad, his name. Muhammad ibn Abdillah. Ibn means the son of. Muhammad ibn Abdillah. Ibn Abdi al-Muttalib, Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Ibn Hashim. These are all the great grandfathers of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn Abdillah, Ibn Abd al-Muttalib, Ibn Hashim, because they were called Banu Hashim. The family of the Prophet were called Banu Hashim versus Banu Umayyah. We'll talk about Banu Umayyah and then Banu Hashim. You know, and this, there was so much, you know, competition between these two main families, Banu Hashim and Banu Umayyah. Abu Sufyan used to be from Abu Umayyah, right? And then Prophet Muhammad, Abdul Muttalib, and others, Abu Talib, they were from Banu Hashim. So the son of Banu Ibn Hashim, Ibn Abdu Manaf, Ibn Abdu Manaf, Ibn Qusay. Qusay is the great grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad. Ibn Qusay, Ibn Kilab, Ibn Qusay, Ibn Kilab, Ibn Murrah, Ibn Murrah, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Murrah, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Lu'ay, Ibn Ghalib, Ibn Fihr. Let me repeat. Muhammad, Ibn Abdillah, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Ibn Hashim, Ibn Abd Manaf, Ibn Qusay, Ibn Kilab, Ibn Murrah, Murrah, Ibn Ka'b, Ibn Lu'ay, Ibn Ghalib, Ibn Fihr. Or, I'll make it easy. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Ibn Hashim, Ibn Abdul Manaf, Ibn Qusay, the son of Adnan. And Adnan is the son of Ismail, and Ismail is the son of Ibrahim. So the progeny of the Prophet Muhammad goes all the way to Ibrahim alayhi salam. This version is smaller, but it's easier. Let me tell you that second version. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Ibn Abdul Muttalib, Ibn Hashim, Ibn Abdul Manaf, Ibn Qusay, Ibn Abdul Manaf, Ibn Qusay, Ibn Adnan, Adnan Ibn Ismail, Ismail Ibn Ibrahim. Alright, Ibn Ibrahim. Abdul Muttalib is the third grandfather of Prophet Muhammad, the third great grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad. He is the one who actually digged Zamzam. Zamzam. He is the one who digged Zamzam. When we talked about Ibrahim alayhi salam and Hajar alayhi salam. Because at some point, after years, the death of Ibrahim alayhi salam, Zamzam has gone. Khalas, Zamzam was lost. And then Abdul Muttalib, he saw a dream pointing to him where Zamzam was. So he went and then he dug it out again. So Abdul Muttalib is the one who digged Zamzam again. Abdul Muttalib. And then he had the right. What right? The honor to water the Hujjaj. Because for the Arabs, it's all about honor. Yes. For us Arabs. For the Arabs, is all about honor. So because he was the first to find out about Zamzam and to discover Zamzam, to dig it out, it was his right to water the Hujjaj, to water the pilgrims for free. For them is an honor. For them is an honor to water the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, to feed the Hujjaj, to serve the worshippers, the Hujjaj, the pilgrims, to cloth the Kaaba, to have the key to the Kaaba. We're going to talk about this. To have the key to the Kaaba is an honor. It's all about honor. We're going to talk about the key to the Kaaba. Until today, the same family whom been having the key to the Kaaba for centuries, until today, the same family has that key. Even any king, even the king of Saudi Arabia, he will not be let into the Kaaba until one member of that family with the key will come and open the door for that king or any person for that matter. So nobody can enter the Kaaba unless that man, his name is Uthman, but we'll talk about it at due time, inshallah, when we talk about the Kaaba, because I'm going to give you the full history of the Kaaba. Full, comprehensive history of the Kaaba, inshallah ta'ala. So, as I mentioned, it's all about honor. So, Abdul Muttalib is the one who digged Zamzam out. Banu Hashim, also the grandfather, he is the one who had allies with different tribes, Hashim. So, the progeny of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salam, you know, very, very high family, very high progeny, right? Very prestigious family, alayhi salatu wassalam. An-Nasab Ali. Walakin, but they were not very, the family, it was not very wealthy family. Whereas Abu Umayyah's family was very rich. Abdul Muttalib's family, Banu Hashim, they were not as rich. But they had other privileges, as I mentioned. They had other privileges other than being rich. But Abu Sufyan, for instance, was from the family of Banu Umayyah. So there was always competition between Banu Umayyah and Banu Hashim. Rivalry between Banu Umayyah and Banu Hashim. And also Abdul Muttalib, he is the one who faced Abraha. Remember when we talked about Abraha? And then the guy who came in, you know, that king, the Abyssinian king who came to destroy Al-Kaaba, who faced him, who confronted him? It was Abdul Muttalib, you know, the great-grandfather of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But let me tell you more about Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam. His father was from Medina, Abdullah. Because Abdullah was the father of Rasulullah alayhi wasallam, he died when Prophet Muhammad was still in the womb of his mother. He was not born yet. He wasn't born yet when his father died, Abdullah. Abdullah used to be in trade. And then he was, you know, in one of his trades, he went to Medina because he was, at the time, it was not known Medina, it was known to be Yathrib. So he went to visit his family and then he died in Medina. So Abdullah died when Prophet Muhammad was still not born yet. So Prophet Muhammad, he never had that opportunity to say, Abi, my father, because his father died. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He never had that opportunity to say, Abi. Can you imagine? If your father is alive, if you have that privilege of just saying, Abi, you don't know what that means. That is a very high privilege. That is a priceless gift. Prophet Muhammad, he did not get to see his dad. No. His grandfather, Hashim, was buried in Gaza, in Palestine. Umm Ayman is one of the wet nurses of Prophet Muhammad was from Sudan. Umm Ayman, who breastfed him, she was from Sudan. Halima Sa'diya, you know, the one who his wet nurse, radiallahu anha, she's also from the outskirts of Mecca. But you would feel that that everybody belongs to Prophet Muhammad, and he belongs to everyone. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When was he born? There is a discrepancy with regard to the birth of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasallam. There's a discrepancy with regard to the birth of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salam. Some said that the Prophet Muhammad was born on the 12th of Rabi' al-Awwal, which is equivalent to the 20th of April, 570 Miladiyah. 650 years after the death of Isa alayhi salam. But he was born 50 days before the incident of an elephant, as I mentioned yesterday. The incident of the elephant, so he was born 50 days before that incident. Some said he was born on the 12th, on the 13th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Some said he was born on the 14th of Rabi' al-Awwal. Some said he was not even born on the Rabi' al-Awwal. He was born in other months. So there's a discrepancy with regard to the actual birth of Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. But it was a Monday. It was a Monday. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When he became six, his mother used to tell him about, because he went back to his mother. I'm going to talk about this. 50, 5-0, before the incident of the elephant. His mother used to tell him about the incident of the elephant, in fact. You know, she used to tell him about that story, you know, these elephants that came and they tried to destroy the Kaaba, and Allah Azza wa Jal destroyed them by means of these birds, Tayran Ababil. And she used to tell him about his grandfather, Abdul Muttalib. Right? She used to tell him the story, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. alayhi salatu wasalam. When his mother was pregnant, it was said that Amina, she did not feel any pain. His mother's name is Amina. She didn't feel no pain. She was pregnant, and during her labor, she did not feel no pain. Amina. Amina, Amina. A lot of people talk about, you know, they talk about the different things about, you know, the birth of the Prophet. There were these miracles and that miracles and whatnot. A lot of these traditions, a lot of these texts are not very authentic. Was he born circumcised or not circumcised? There's a discrepancy with regard to his birth, whether he was circumcised or not circumcised. We're not going to get into, you know, these details. We're not going to get into these discrepancies. You know, we were talking about the, you know, a star was born, about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. Some say that Nur, Prophet Muhammad had no shadow. What says, ya khilaha? Well, what makes you say things like that? You know, well, he was a being, he was a human being, but not like any other human being. He says he was Nur. Nur, he was from Nur. La. He was a man, alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi, he was a prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam. He had a shade or a shadow just like everyone else. But we talked about his description and his attributes. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Brothers and sisters, who was the very first wet nurse of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who was the very first wet nurse of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Who was the very first person who breastfed Prophet Muhammad alayhi wa sallam? Who can tell me, those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram? The very first person who breastfed Prophet Muhammad. Who was she? I cannot say he. Who was she? Halima? 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 Mu'nisa said Halima. Layla said Halima. Imad said Halima. Shazia said Halima. Wintallah said Halima. Noor Najwa said Halima. Hafiz Khan said Halima. Nawal said Halima. Karima said Halima. All of you are wrong. 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 His mother Amina. All of you are wrong. All of you are wrong. Oh no, wrong. Oh no, no, it is not Halima. Hamid Buhu said Halima. I said wrong. His mother Amina, he was wrong. No. His first wet nurse, the first lady who breastfed him was not Halima. أول من أرضعته ثويبية. The very first person who actually breastfed Prophet Muhammad, her name is Thuwaybiyya. She was the slave or the servant of Mawla Abu Talib. Abu Talib, his uncle, right? He used to have a slave. Her name is Thuwaybiyya. Not a lot of people know about this, right? Not a lot of people know about this. I already, you know, if you, those of you who've come in late, you know, go back and watch the session. I've already answered that question. I've already spoken about the idols and whatnot. So I moved on, right? If you're late, please go back and watch the session from the beginning, inshallah ta'ala. So anyways, her name is Thuwaybiyya, right? She was the slave of Abu Talib, and Ibn Abbas, subhanAllah, Ibn Abbas, so what happened was, listen, this is interesting story. This is a very interesting story. Thuwaybiyya, what happened was, when she breastfed Prophet Muhammad alayhi wasallam, Abu Talib was so happy that he freed her. So what happened was, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu warda, he saw him in a dream late, you know, years later. He saw Abu Talib in a dream. Every Monday, subhanallah, Abu Talib will have a lesser of a punishment in hellfire. a lesser of a punishment in hellfire. Why? Because he freed the wet nurse, the very first wet nurse of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Abbas, the cousin of Prophet Muhammad, all right, he saw Abu Talib in a dream. Every Monday, he has a lesson of a punishment. Why? Because he freed, you know, the servant, the slave, who first breastfed Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, this is, a lot of people don't know this, so take notes. I hope you're taking notes. The very first wet nurse of Prophet Muhammad, she was not Halima, it was Thuwaybiyyah, Mawla Abu Talib. Thuwaybiyyah, the slave of Abu Talib. And then will come Halima. What happened to Halima? Nurses from Banu Sa'd, because, you know, people who were born in Mecca, right? The norm at the time, the culture of the time, they will have people coming in, wet nurses coming in from different, you know, tribes to take those boys from Mecca. Because remember, Mecca was the center of trade. So Mecca was kind of diversified. There was a lot of people, you know. So they would take them out from Mecca into the outskirts and make them live into the outskirts. And they take babies, you know, and take them out into the outskirts, into the mountains, into the Sahara, the desert, to live there, right? To live there. So came these wet nurses from Banu Sa'd. Amongst them was a woman by the name of Halima, right? And then, you know the story, everybody knows the story. So what happened was, because Prophet Muhammad was orphan, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, so nobody wanted to take possession of him because he was an orphan. Why? Because he had no father who's going to pay them, right? Because they used to take that for a little ajr. They would take those babies and go and breastfeed them in return for some money. But when they heard that this boy had no father, his mom was miskina, the man was no father, his family was not rich, so nobody wanted to take him. Nobody wanted to take Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar. Nobody wanted to take him. But then when she took him eventually, because, you know, he was alone, nobody wanted to take him. And then Halima said, I'm not going to go back alone. You know, it's a shame to come back, you know, all this, you know, coming all this trip and then going back alone. Let us take this boy. We just get some ajr off of him. They took this boy. Their life changed. Their life changed. How? The life changed because of the barakah, because of the blessings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam for her and her husband. They noticed as they took the baby, right, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then they went back, the very first miracle was the camel. Her camel was the slowest. Halima's camel was the slowest. And when they were going back, Halima's camel got to become the fastest. What happened? Ya Halima, take it easy. What happened? Your camel was so slow. How come now she's fast? She says, I cannot control her. I cannot control her, Ya Halima. I can't. She's going fast. Allahu Akbar. The camel realized that she, that the one who's riding her is to be a prophet. The camel realized that the baby who is riding her is to be a prophet. Even the camel got happy. And because that camel got happy, she became, you know, kida, you know, going fast and jumping and running. I got the honor of picking Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They reached their town, and then Halima radiallahu anha, she had her son as well that she was breastfeeding. They did not have enough milk for both. She didn't have enough milk for both. She used to say that Prophet Muhammad would not eat until his brother from Rada'a would eat first. And then, you know, and then Prophet Muhammad would eat as well. And then she says, and then I will have plenty of milk left. Plenty of milk left. Her milk will come in out of her breast. Another barakah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allahumma salli wa sallim ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Rasulullah is a baby. He will not eat first until his brother from rada, from breastfeeding, would eat first, and then he would breastfeed. He would eat. He would breastfeed, and then Halima radiallahu anha, she will have more milk. More milk, yani so much barakah. They used to have a goat, a skinny, teeny tiny goat, subhanallah. That goat has no milk, but with the barakah of Rasulullah, that goat would go, subhanallah, and then she would, you know, in the fields, and she will eat, and then she will come back and produce lots of milk, so much so that the women from the other tribes, they used to say, take your cattle, whatever the cattle of Halima is, put your cattle with it. Why? Because there's barakah in it. There's barakah in there. There is barakah going, coming from the cattle of Halima radiallahu anha radaha. All because of, again, the barakah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's still a baby. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma salli wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. You know, brothers and sisters, Prophet Muhammad stayed with Halima until he was 4 years old. When he was 55 years old, in the conquest of Mecca, he saw an old woman looking at him and smiling. So he asked, who's that woman there looking at me and smiling? They said, that's Halima. He did not know her. He did not recognize her. He had not seen her for ages. Who's that woman looking at me there and smiling? They said, Hadi Halima. Hadi murdi'atuk Halima. She is your murdi'a, Halima. Ummi. Oh, my mother, ummi. He goes to her. He takes his abaya and then he puts it on the ground and he sits with his mother from murdi'a. His mother, na'am, she adha'athu, she breastfed him for 4 years, radiallahu anha wa allaha. She became a Muslim, of course, as well. So he was loyal. He did not forget about her. Ummi, let me see my mother, radiallahu anha wa ardaha. That's how loyal he was. He didn't forget about her. In fact, in one of the battles after Hunayn, we will talk about this. You know, in Hunayn, the Muslims, they got lots of booties and spoils of war. And then he realized that some of those spoils of war belonged to his brother from Rada'a, his brother from, you know, breastfeeding. So he asked his Sahaba, his friends, Sahaba, his companions, should we please give them back all these spoils, give them back? They said, why, Ya Rasulullah? He says, because this is my brother from Rada'a. You know, why is he Muslim? No, he wasn't Muslim. But, لِأُمِّي وَفَاءً لِأُمِّي حَلِيمًا. Because this is, you know, my mother Halima. Just to be loyal to my mother Halima, give her back, give them back their spoils. هكذا كان رسول الله عليه الصلاة والسلام. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. When he stayed with his mother until he was 40 years old, he went back to his mother Amina, and then he stayed with Amina for 2 years until he was 6 years old. Amina, his mother, she used to tell him about his father. And then one day she took him on a trip with him. You know, she took him on a trip with her and Ummu Ayman. They went into a trip to what's called Medina, right? To visit his, you know, his uncles. Look at the mother. I'm going to take you to Medina to visit your uncles. Because your father's grave is there. So she took him to visit his uncles on the way back from Medina, right? From Yathrib, she passed away. In a mantiqa, an area called Al-Abwa, 150 kilometers, you know, from Medina. 150 kilometers, she passed away. And who buried her? Ummu Ayman buried her in the presence of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's seen his mother being buried. He was only 6 years old. You see his life from, you know, when he was born until he was four with Halima, from four until he was six from four to six with his mother Amina, and then from six onward he would start moving from one house to another. He would go to Abdul Muttalib, his grandfather, from his grandfather to his uncle. There was no subhanallah, stability in this the life of this man sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But despite all that, you will see what he will do. When he was 6, as he came back from 6 to 8, something will happen. What will happen when he will be 8 years old? And then from 8 years old, my brothers and sisters, from 8 years old, alayhi salatu wasalam, from 8 years old until يعني, he was 15, and until what, from 8 to 25, what he will do, or from 8 to 15, what he will do, alayhi salatu wasalam, and then from 15 to 35, what would the Prophet do, sallallahu alayhi wasalam? يعني, there is so much to talk about. There is so much to talk about. I'm not just going to narrate stories. I'm gonna go deep into the life of this man, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. I want to sing for you a Moroccan song about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are you ready, brothers and sisters? A Moroccan song about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you're going to participate. You're going to help me out. You're going to help me out, all of you. All right? All of you, you're going to sing along. And I'm going to tell you what you're going to say. I'm going to tell you what you have to say. Yes, I'm not going to talk about those things later on, about what will happen to Prophet Muhammad when he went, you know, when he was 2 years old, the breast, and then the opening of the breast and the washing of the heart. We'll talk about that, inshallah ta'ala. But now I want to sing a song in Moroccan about Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and you people will help me out. You people will help me out. How? What are you going to say? I'm going to say, As-salat alayk. You say, An-Nabi Muhammad. I will say, Sallallahu alayk. You will say, An-Nabi Muhammad. All you have to say is, An-Nabi Muhammad. That's all. An-Nabi Muhammad. All right? You ready? And are you ready? You just say, An-Nabi Muhammad. All of you have to say, An-Nabi Muhammad. That's all. As-salat alayk, An-Nabi Muhammad, Sallallahu alayk, An-Nabi Muhammad, As-salat alayk, An-Nabi Muhammad, Sallallahu alayk, An-Nabi Muhammad, Man huwa wahad, An-Nabi Muhammad, Wahad huwa Allah, An-Nabi Muhammad, Man huwa wahad, An-Nabi Muhammad, واحد هو الله النبي محمد أصلات عليك النبي محمد صلى الله عليك النبي محمد من هم اثنان النبي محمد الحسن والحسين النبي محمد من هم اثنان النبي محمد الحسن والحسين النبي محمد أصلات عليك النبي محمد صلى الله عليك النبي محمد أصلات عليك النبي محمد صلى الله عليك النبي محمد من هم ثلاثة النبي محمد أصحاب الروضة النبي محمد من هم ثلاثة النبي محمد أصحاب الروضة النبي محمد أصلات عليك النبي محمد صلى الله عليك النبي محمد من هم أربعة النبي محمد أربعة كتب النبي محمد من هم خمسة النبي محمد خمسة صلوات النبي محمد من هم ستة النبي محمد ستة أيام النبي محمد من هم سبعة النبي محمد سبعة سماوات النبي محمد من هم ثمانية النبي محمد حملات العرش النبي محمد من هم تسعة النبي محمد من هم تسعة النبي محمد آيات موسى النبي محمد من هم عشرة النبي محمد أصحاب الروضة النبي محمد من هم عشرة النبي محمد المبشرين بالجنة النبي محمد من هم 11 النبي محمد إخوة يوسف النبي محمد من هم 12 النبي محمد عدد الشهور النبي محمد قوموا قوموا تسجدوا لله يا العاشقين لرسول الله هذه ساعة من ساعات الله تحضر فيها رحمات الله قوموا قوموا واسجدوا لله يا العاشقين لرسول الله هذه ساعة من ساعات الله تحضر فيها رحمات الله قوموا قوموا واسجدوا لله يا العاشقين لرسول الله هذه ساعة من ساعات الله يحضر فيها رحمات الله اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد يا رب صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد. All right, my brothers and sisters, this is it. You know, we ended with this so that I will not be able to see you until next Friday, inshallah ta'ala. So this was a preview, a little, you know, starting, a little introduction about the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Jazakumullah khair for attending. Jazakumullah khair for being here. Those of you who've come in late, go back and watch the session from the very beginning. It will be recorded on Facebook, on Instagram, on YouTube. All of them are on YouTube because some maybe are missing, you know, missing from Facebook, or maybe some are missing from Instagram, but they are all there on YouTube. Go back, inshallah ta'ala, and watch them, inshallah. Share them with others as well. Jazakumullah khair. And please, just so you know, brothers and sisters, those, just so you know, this my new project, The Stories of the Prophets for Kids, is out. The Stories of the Prophets for Kids is out, you know, that new project. So please check it out. The new video, the first video, is on YouTube. Go back and watch it. Share it with your friends and families, kids. It's an amazing series. Jazakumullah khair. And if you want to sponsor or support that project, all you have to do, you know, send us a text. We have a GoFundMe project out there as well. You can help and support that project. Jazakumullah khair. Barakallahu feekum. May Allah bless you. May Allah reward you. And I hope to see you next Friday, inshallah ta'ala. All right? I hope to see you next Friday, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullah khair. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Thank you, brothers and sisters. Those of you on Facebook and those of you on Instagram. Thank you and see you next week, inshallah. جزاكم الله خير يلا السلام عليكم السلام عليكم السلام عليكم السلام عليكم